It is a misunderstanding of our own salvation that causes us to relate to people the wrong way.
Dr. Tony Evans says Jesus' sacrifice did more than just reconnect us to God.
It is because we forget what Christ did for us that we don't remember how we should relate to others.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Salvation not only changes our relationship with God, Dr. Evans says it's meant to change our relationships with other people as well. Let's join him as he explains.
Today we want to look at a word that you are all familiar with. It's used all the time. And we want to look at it now from a biblical standpoint as it relates to our great salvation. And it is the word reconciliation. Reconciliation. We've all heard it. We've all used it. Reconciliation has to do with relationship or fellowship. It has to do with the removal of hostility and the entering into camaraderie. It means that the breach has been broken so that now the Berlin Wall has been dismantled so that those who were in alienation against one another can now have a harmonious relationship. In order to understand the concept and the need for reconciliation, we have to understand the problem that fosters the need. Now, in a general way, it's the presence of sin. Sin has alienated mankind from God. Men are not reconciled to God because of the issue of sin. So then, if I were to give a formal definition to the concept of reconciliation, it would be this. It is God's work through the death of Christ by which sinners are brought back into spiritual fellowship and harmony with God. It is a movement, in other words, from alienation to restoration. Now that leads to the dimensions of reconciliation. There are three dimensions of reconciliation. Three ways reconciliation occurs. Three relationships that are in fact reconciled by this word and by what it represents in terms of God's salvation program. First of all, let me talk about vertical reconciliation. Vertical reconciliation involves a change in men towards God based on the work of Jesus Christ. It has to do with our relationship with God. All reconciliation starts there. We discover in 2 Corinthians 5 that God has reconciled us, Christians he's referring to himself by means of the death of Jesus Christ. In verse 18 he says, we are reconciled to God. That's Christians. We have been reconciled to God. But he says it's bigger than that. This vertical reconciliation also includes everybody else. He says the world has been reconciled to God. Okay? Let me explain it this way. Perhaps you've offended somebody and you told them, I'm sorry. Or you told them, don't worry about it. If they've offended you, forget it. Let's go on. But perhaps they don't accept that and continue the alienation. It is not because you have not offered the reconciliation. It's not that you haven't held out a branch and said, let's make bygones be bygones and let's now become friends. It's because they may not accept the reconciliation that you offer. So it is, God has made provision so the whole world is reconciled to God, and through this universal reconciliation, the whole world, now watch this word, has been made savable. There is no man, no woman, no boy, and no girl who cannot be saved because what God did was reconcile the world as a unit to himself. However, the only people in the unit who get to experience the reconciliation are those who accept the provision of Jesus Christ. There is a universal reconciliation that is provided. There is an actual reconciliation that is experienced. Even though God has reconciled the world to himself, all the world is not saved. And the reason why all the world is not saved is all the world does not accept the reconciliation that's been provided by the work of God. The issue now with a person's salvation is, will you be reconciled to God? Now, why is that the issue? Because God has already done what is necessary to be reconciled to you. It is, first of all, vertical, because it has to do with our relationship with God. But reconciliation is not only vertical. Reconciliation is also horizontal. Turn to Ephesians 2. It has to do with man to man, woman to woman, race to race. Now, we use this all the time when we talk about racial what? Reconciliation. That's the concept that people want to bring in. But here's the problem. Here's the problem with husbands and wives that aren't reconciled. Here's the problem with believer to believer, race to race, class to class. It boils down to this. You cannot have horizontal reconciliation without a proper understanding of vertical reconciliation. He tells them in verse 11, this is a big problem in the Ephesian church, Jews and Gentiles. He says, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, you were called uncircumcised by the Jews, the so-called circumcised. Verse 12, remember that you were separated from Christ, excluded from Israel, strangers to the covenant, no hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you formerly who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, the basis of our unity, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. This dividing wall was a temple wall that separated Jews from Gentiles. There was no fellowship in the temple beyond the wall. If you climbed across that wall and were a Gentile, you could be killed, because that wall separated Jews and Gentiles. Jesus Christ broke down the walls. We've been trying to rebuild them ever since. By abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is in the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. Now verse 16. And might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. Here it is. The Bible says in this passage, horizontal fellowship between races, in this case, it was Jew and Gentile, is predicated on a proper understanding of the vertical relationship that we now have to God based on the blood of Jesus Christ. Or let me state it another way. If you dislike another person, reject another person, simply based on externals, color of their skin, how much money they make, where they live, whatever the external thing is that you're using, an illegitimate criteria as opposed to sin, which should separate. But when you reject them, what this text is saying is you have no understanding of your own salvation. That's why he keeps using the word remember, remember, remember. We forget, forget, forget. Okay? It is because we forget what Christ did for us that we don't remember how we should relate to others. Okay? It is a misunderstanding of our own salvation that causes us to relate to people the wrong way. When you come through this door, the only thing special about you is that you've been bought with the blood. That is what makes you special. The car you drive doesn't make you unique. The house you live in doesn't make you unique. You are unique because you've met the grace of God. But guess what? Everybody else in the room who saved met him too. So that means the ground is real level where you're sitting. All right? Real level where you're sitting. God has reconciled us. That's why James 2 says, how dare you treat the poor man with indignity? Because he can't wear your clothes. Because he doesn't dress like you. Now, he can't tell you how to dress, but if he's doing the best he can, then that honors God just as much. And so he condemns classism, racism, culturalism, because there is a horizontal dimension or relational dimension. Let's go back again to Adam. When Adam sinned against God, he lost fellowship with Eve. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, Cain killed Abel. See, there was breakdown in relationships. When a husband and wife are at each other's throat, a spiritual issue has entered into the relationship that is being worked out in a physical, verbal way. And because they don't remember to reapproach this thing from the vantage point of their vertical relationship, they never come to a horizontal resolve. The only way you can resolve a horizontal problem is through a vertical understanding. Okay? You need to understand who Christ is. You need to understand who you are in Jesus Christ. You need to understand that. That's why whenever Paul talks about horizontal relationships, he predicates it on your spiritual understanding. Because he knows if your spiritual understanding is weak about your relationship with God, to put it another way, John would put it this way. He would say, how in the world can you love a God whom you've not seen if you can't love the brother who you see every day? He's saying there is this horizontal, vertical continuum that works itself out. Your closeness to God will always be seen in your horizontal expressions to man. You show me a person who is comfortable in their sin of horizontal discord, comfortable with racism, comfortable with classism, comfortable with culturalism. You show me a wife who's comfortable making her husband miserable, or a husband who's comfortable making his wife miserable. That is, they create the situations for horizontal breakdown, and I'll show you somebody who has no spiritual life.
So we've learned that reconciliation is both horizontal and vertical, but it goes in another direction as well. And Dr. Evans will tell us more about that when he continues our message in just a moment. Stay with us.
The Bible, from beginning to end, passage by passage, thoroughly explained in plain language by one of America's top theologians. That's what you get in the brand new Tony Evans Commentary. It's loaded with a lifetime of insights and illustrations that'll help you dig up every nugget of spiritual truth and put those new understandings to work. Whether you're a brand new believer or an experienced Bible teacher, you'll want to have this powerful new resource close by every time you study God's Word. The Tony Evans Commentary, available now at tonyevans.org.
This brand new resource is one of the most important tools you can have if you're serious about getting the most out of God's Word. As you heard, it's available at tonyevans.org or request it through our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. While you're there, don't miss your chance to take advantage of our current special offer, all 12 CDs in Tony's current teaching series, Our Great Salvation. This two-volume collection will teach you about the incredible significance of some theological terms you may have heard but didn't understand. You'll come away with a new awareness of why God's grace is so amazing. Along with it, you'll get Tony's God's Got It devotional journal, full of inspirational articles, along with space where you can keep track of prayer requests, favorite verses, meaningful experiences, and more. Both of these great resources are yours as our way of saying thanks for your contribution toward Tony's work on the radio, on TV, in books, and with churches, pastors, and their families around the world. Visit tonyevans.org today to make those arrangements before time runs out. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Or reach out to our Resource Center for some in-person help at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. And now here's Tony once again with more of today's lesson.
Reconciliation is also cosmic. It's vertical, it's horizontal, but it's also cosmic. Turn to Colossians 1. It involves the whole universe. Colossians 1, verse 15. And he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. Now that's one of the key verses on the deity of Christ. That Jesus is God. He is the image or exact replica of the invisible God. He is God made visible. The firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. By Christ all things were created. Now watch this. both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, people and angels, okay? Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created for him and by him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have what? First place or preeminence in everything. Now watch verse 19 and 20. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. All the fullness of deity exists in Christ. And through him, here it is, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross, through him I say. Sin was so devastating against a holy God that when sin broke fellowship with God, it did not only affect people, it affected everything. You see, when God created everything, it was good. But sin is so devastating that it brought disarray not only to people, but remember the punishment to Adam? Thorns and thistles. The blood of Christ is not only designed to bring sinners back into relationship with God, it is also designed to bring the universe back into relationship with God. Which is why when Jesus comes back, there are no more earthquakes. There is no more night. Okay? God will so restructure this thing under Jesus Christ. Now, how will he do it? He lets us know, verse 17, that he is before all things, Christ is, and in him, that is, in Christ, all things hold together, including your life. So if your world is coming apart, if the planets of your life are spinning out of orbit, all right? Your financials are flying that way. Your relationships are flying over there. Your mental well-being, that's flying over there. You're just coming apart at the seams. What you ought to do is reposition Christ as first place in everything. In other words, the reason why it's falling apart like this is he's gotten second place somewhere. Or third place, or fourth place, or fifth place, or sixth place. He's down the line. All you know is stuff is coming apart. But it is only as he is first place that you experience the reconciliation that he has paid for. Now, that leads to a third point. The third point has to do with the cost or the payment, which we've mentioned a number of times, for our reconciliation. What price did it take? Well, stay in Romans and go back to chapter 5, verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The Bible declares that there is much more available to us in time and eternity because he lives. If you're already saved, it's because he lives that you can now experience all the benefits that come with your salvation. That leads to a fourth point. The duty of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5 again. Let me read verse 18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Now here it is. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, what is this job we're supposed to be doing? That God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. Now watch this. As though God were entreating through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. The duty of reconciliation is the responsibility of an ambassador who delivers the message from one country to another country on behalf of its leader. The ambassador is not the leader. He is the messenger of the leader to deliver what is the message that the leader once declared. God saved you and me, brothers and sisters, to be ambassadors. To let sinners know God is not mad anymore. We have a message of peace, even though sinners live in a state of war. Because every time you sin, that's warfare against God. We have the privilege of telling sinners, God told me to tell you. And you can literally say that according to verse 19, verse 20, as though God were entreating through us. So you are the mouthpiece of God. God is not mad anymore. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. But God told me to tell you he is not mad anymore. Yeah, but you don't know how many times I did it. But God told me to tell you, no matter how much you did have done it, how often you've done it, he's not mad anymore. He is now asking me to ask you, will you be reconciled to him? Because he's already picked up the price for your problem. We have the message of reconciliation.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a heartbreaking real-life story about a reconciliation that never took place. But that doesn't have to be your story. If you're ready to be reconciled to God through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that can happen for you today, no matter who you are or what you've done. Tony has a short video that explains everything you need to know. Just visit TonyEvans.org and click the Jesus link on the homepage. There are even some free resources to help get you started. Drop by TonyEvans.org today and check it out. When you do, don't forget to request Tony's current series, Our Great Salvation. Remember, when you make a donation to help us keep this program coming your way, we'll send it to you as our thank you gift, along with the God's Got It devotional journal I told you about earlier. But this is a limited time offer, so don't put it off. Call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222 to make the arrangements any time of the day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. Or visit TonyEvans.org, the place to go to connect with all of our resources, like the new Tony Evans Commentary I told you about, and the Tony Evans Study Bible, due to be released at the end of the month. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. We typically think of our salvation as a gift, not something that can be bought. But the truth is, it was bought. And tomorrow, Dr. Evans will talk to us about the price. Right now, he's back with his final story for today.
Elizabeth Barrett Browning had parents who disapproved very strongly of her marriage to the famous Robert Browning. They disowned her, as a matter of fact, true story. For 10 years, she wrote them letters. I love you, mother. I love you, father. Please, let's reconcile. Never heard a word. After 10 years, she got a box in the mail. She opened the box. And it broke her heart. All the letters that she had written to her parents over a 10-year period had been returned, and not one of them had been opened. They never saw the depth of her love for her parents. They were so angry at who she married that they never got around to the love letter. Who knows? If they would have maybe just opened the letters and read them, the heart of her love would have been at least allowed to be communicated and maybe break through. God has written us a love letter. God has written us a love letter. And page after page, he wants you to know how much he loves you. But if you never open the letter and read how much he loves you, it'll stay a closed book and you'll never experience the reconciliation that he offers. He offers you reconciliation on every level, every possible level, but you got to be willing to read his letter. The Word of God is God's love letter to you and me about reconciliation.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.